morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR here in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And we're going a little further than Pittsfield today with our guest. We're thrilled to have Joe Francisco. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are y'all?
Everybody's fantastic, as far as I know. But Joe works for the you work for the Houston Astros and the Houston Rockets, right?
Yeah, part time. Yeah, and the Texans part time. Yeah, so they've been fun part time seasonal gigs.
Okay, so what exactly is your role with each of the organizations?
So work in production, so game day production. With the Astros, I'm the in-stadium host. I've been the DJ for several years, just kind of popping around different positions there, different roles, but currently the in-stadium host the past couple years. Rockets, I work, again, game day production, so I work on clips primarily, so a lot of the videos that you see played in-stadium, in the arena. I just play them. I don't produce them. I don't make them. Don't have that side of creativity in me, but I do play those. Texans work again on the production, the in-game staff. So work kind of like call IP director, all the breaks. So all the timeouts, everything's logged, everything's recorded. That goes out to sponsorship. So they confirm that that did run kind of like more of a trafficking role. But I am there on game days as well too. So they're just fun. If you love sports, if you love entertainment, sports entertainment, these are definitely good game day roles.
So you're involved with all of them, and are you basically at every home game for all three organizations, or do you have time off?
Yeah, 99% of the games, I'd say. 100% Astros games, probably 95% Rockets games, and then Texans. Since they're primarily weekends, I can do those all 8, 9, 10 games, I guess, if you take into account preseason. Postseason potentially, right, as well. But my full time job, I work for a university full time in admissions, like recruitment, so that kind of works out as far as the timing. So my day-to-day gig, 7:30 to 4 or so, and then that allows for evening opportunities, so kind of opens the door up for these fun part-time gigs.
So do you get an opportunity to interact with the players at all, or are you sort of in a different spot?
Yeah, I mean, not much. Yeah, more or less, more with the Astros, I'd say, if at all. I mean, I do some hits pregame on the field, on the warning track, kind of wander around, hey, welcome to Dykin Park. We do some pretty much sponsor reads, hey, tonight's promotion, we're giving away this or tomorrow this, we're playing this team. Here's your starter for tonight, Astros or this, quick little background of the road trip or upcoming road trip, what's going on. So maybe we run into some players on the field during that time or different activities, that Fan Fest, for example, preseason, that's pretty exciting to do that. But as far as on a day-to-day, they're there to do a job. I'm not going to interrupt them at all, by no means. And then I'm there to do my job as well too. So, but they're focused on their game, you know, they're in the zone.
So in-game host, that's a little different. I actually had the opportunity to go down to Houston for a game when it was Minute Maid Park, 2022 or something. And you brought me up into Mission Control. You were more of a DJ at that point.
Yeah. So I DJed 2019 through 24. I think that'd be 5 years. Yeah. So all the walk-up music, all the in-game promotions and the hype innings and things like that, I was responsible for that. Controlling the microphones for the host at the time, the anthem singers, that sort of thing. So kind of controlled all the audio. More operator, I guess, DJ, not like the DJ in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
I say DJ like, oh, you know, like a radio DJ or like the Aoki, you go to a club and things like that. But more of the, I guess, the whole audio, all the audio systems throughout the ballpark. So that was fun. And I had hosted before when I first moved down here. I moved down here from Pittsburgh in 08. So my first 2 years with the Astros, the in-game entertainment team. So we were the park patrol. We'd run around, throw t-shirts, make balloon animals, you know, interact with fans, kind of run around the ballpark. Then after 2 years, my boss at the time said, hey, do you want to host? I said, yeah, my degree was TV radio from our familiar university, right, Bethany College. And then did that for a couple years. Then camera, backup DJ, backup host, kind of bounced around, filled in different positions. And then again, 2019, took on the DJ role, 5 years, yeah. And then last couple years, back to hosting again. I mean, they're fun. I mean, they both have its own, they can be challenging, of course, you know, super can be stressful situations, but it's just, you know, taking it in, you know, taking in the crowd, the good, the bad, the boos, the cheers. You know, we've been very spoiled the last several years, you know, with postseasons and a couple of overall championships, but just can't take that for granted. You know, you definitely can't take it for granted. You know, I grew up north of Pittsburgh, Pirates, you know, been a lifelong Pirates fan. That's the traditional sense. I grew up, you know, they were doing okay in the 90s, and then they kind of, you know, but still supported the team. But first, I did work with them part-time after college. So I remember a friend of ours, I want to say one of our, Leah, I think she worked for them for a year or so. And I saw them, her at a game. I'm like, this looks like fun. So I auditioned, got their part-time job, the Bucko Brigade back then in the many moons ago. I'm not going to age myself, but whatever. Back in 2004, 2005, I'd say. And did that for several years. And before I moved down to Houston, backup host, I did some mascot work. Again, same thing, running around, throwing T-shirts out. We had the T-shirt gun, but in Pittsburgh, we didn't do T-shirts. We wrapped hot dogs in aluminum foil and put a coupon on the outside and shot the hot dogs out of the T-shirt cannon. So kind of different vibe. And I did the mascot work as far as some pirate parrot every so often. We had a secondary mascot in the early 2000s, Jolly Roger did that. And then the pierogi race, the infamous pierogi race. And then again, moving out of Houston, it's just, you know, plenty of opportunities here in the end game crew for the production crew. It's been fun ride.
And it's interesting for folks in this area because, you know, I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan, go to Fenway Park, Yankees fan, same deal. You got the Yankee Stadium, and we don't really have any of that. I mean, we got our mascot back in 97, and it really took a while for Wally to catch on. We certainly don't have any in-game entertainment per se. We certainly don't have anyone running on the field and talking and doing any of that stuff. But that goes well in over well in Houston.
Yeah, it's just a different market. I think we've had a host for several years here. Ever since I moved down here, we rotated a couple of different people because it's just a long season. Definitely long season, 81 home games. You got preseason. If they do some preseason games, they'll do college tournaments here. Sometimes they'll use a host, sometimes they won't, but just kind of getting engaged, getting involved, kind of just different announcements. You got the PA announcer, he's amazing. Bob's amazing. But to kind of change things up a little bit. I noticed some college universities around here, they'll have a host. Texans, Rockets, you know, the major sports, they have a host as well too, but they've been doing it for a while, and it's been successful. And again, yeah, not all teams do it. You know, not all teams have this additional position out there, I guess, right? A lot of minor league teams you see as well, too, I think. You see more, and they're more fluid, I think. They're more flexible as far as rules. You know, obviously, we're a strict time thing with MLB, inning breaks, pitching clocks, things like that. You really got to be on with that. Music's got to be out at a certain time. The batter steps in the box, music's out. PA is out. I want to say like 30, we try to announce the batter. And then beyond that, of course, everything on the scoreboard's got to be still. No more video, nothing. It's got to be still for, of course, make it fair for all the players, right? So there's no distractions. Home and away teams, right? Just make it fair for everybody. But just kind of the extra little things that are out there going on in the stadium. You know, we do have a couple of promotions on the field during the game. Probably the sixth inning or so, we bring a kid on, they steal a base, but it's in the outfield. Not even close to any of the players, right? The right fielder is there, but he's far enough away where there's no...
He's doing his own thing anyway.
There's no interaction. 100%. Yeah, you don't want to engage or mess with that. So it's all strictly on a warning track. Kids run down, steal the base, and then comes back, and then we run off the field. So just a different experience for the kid, too. It's one of these things that, like, I think we take for granted working in the industry.
Sure.
I've been on the field numerous times, you know, standing in the warning track, the grass. Fans aren't allowed to touch the grass, right? Because the sacred grass of all ballparks, you don't want to mess up the grass or anything, right? No matter what stadium you're at. But it's being down there, you know, it's just, we had a 5K, 10K on Saturday, got to MC that, and that was fun. And a lot of the fans, you know, they finish in right field and they walk around the warning track. They get the picture taken, their medals, but they're really engaged in that whole warning track, get the water, of course, and things when they finish. But it's things that we do, we don't think about it. But maybe the fan who's been a lifelong baseball fan, it's the first time they touch the dirt. You know, this is the closest they've been to a major league ballpark or stadium. Maybe this is the first time they've been to a stadium. They haven't been to a game, but this is the first kind of really embrace and see, you know, these massive cathedrals, I guess, that are out there. And these ballparks are beautiful. They all have their own flavor, of course. You know, you've got the Green Monster up there. Mm-hmm. We have Crawford Boxes here in Houston. There's just, that's what I think, I love baseball. Everything's unique about each stadium.
Yeah, same here, too. And did you get to do any work with the World Baseball Classic when it was down there?
Actually, yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up. That was a fun, unique experience. So, of course, just seeing the teams from the international teams. You know, baseball is very traditional, right? Somebody hits a home run. Yeah, there's some a bat flip here or there, but you don't want to get too. But I feel like some of these home runs, the whole team came out of the dugout and just, it was just a whole different vibe. International baseball, the vibe is just so different, which is, I mean, it's great. There's nothing wrong with MLB, of course, right? But it was fun to see the different fans from all over the place. I DJ'd most of the games, so a lot of the walk-up music and the winning music and the pre-game music. I emceed a couple of them, but that was a great experience. I'm glad you brought that up. Definitely just a unique thing. I remember they talked about it a couple of years ago. Oh, World Baseball Classic is coming a year and a half from now, 2 years from now. Then all of a sudden, 6 months, and then 3 months. It's like, it's here. You know, now it's gone, it's in the past. So hopefully it comes again. If you get a chance to go, listeners, viewers, if you get a chance to go to any of these things, of course, your local baseball, if you're a big baseball fan, of course, the Sox, the minor league teams that are up there, of course, too. You guys have the Cape Cod League up there as well, right?
We do have the Cape Cod League. I haven't been there. I haven't had the opportunity to go down there for that yet. But, we have some people say that we're the birthplace of baseball because in 1792, the first ever written, and this was discovered probably 15 years ago. This is no playing baseball by City Hall with the windows. And that's the first ever documented mention of baseball. And we have a stadium here called Wacona Park, and who the hell knows what's happening with it. We were within, there were in the FCBL, which is a summer bat league, and we hosted a player and a lot of good players through that league. Cade Cavelli, who pitches for Washington now, played for the Pittsfield Suns. Steven Strasburg came through here a few times. Ben Rice played for Worcester in the league, and Ben Rice would come to Wacona Park and just mash us the entire time. So it's no surprise what he's doing. So, yeah, we've had our share of minor league baseball. The team's been gone a couple of years because the grandstands were, you know, condemned. So that'll do it. But
I encourage your baseball fan. You're not a baseball fan. I'm sorry, Bob. But you see it on TV. Maybe you've never been to a game. Just go see it. It's just the crack of the bat, the summer, the breeze. I mean, I'm at a big stadium, small stadium. It's just, you're there with other baseball fans. The sounds of the game too, the smells, you know, it's just a fun spring, summer, fall day. You know, and I guess at the fall league too. But yeah, there's just so much going on. Just I urge people to go out and check out the game.
We're talking to Joe Francisco. He is the in-stadium host for the Houston Astros, has had a wide variety of positions with the Astros, also works with the Rockets and the Houston Texans as well. And I went to school with him back at Bethany College in West Virginia. And if you're wondering, why haven't I heard of that? Because, you know, not too many people have heard of it. It's always wild. Do you run into that where somebody says, I went to Bethany College, and they're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, there's actually one in Kansas.
There is one in Kansas, too,
we're a little
too,
more
yes.
closer in Houston to Kansas. So it's like, okay, no, the West Virginia one. I talked to somebody 2 weeks ago, and they're like, oh, yeah. I said, the West Virginia. They're like, oh, yeah, I know that one. I'm like, really? You know, one in the hills of West Virginia, right? I actually ran into, I was in Dallas for work, and I walk into this restaurant. We were out with some coworkers, and this guy comes around the front, and like he looks like the host to the restaurant. I just kind of make eye contact, like, hey, what's up? He kind of stares at me a little bit. I'm like, hey. He looked familiar, but I'm like, I don't know anybody in Dallas. Now, why would I know anybody in Dallas, right? He graduated. I'll tell you offline the name, but great dude, man. Great dude. Yeah. Sigma Nu, just a great, great dude. Like, dude, small world, man. I mean, the timing for, you know, coincidental, Dallas is huge. Bethany's tiny, you know, just to be spread out and just kind of ran. He was in town. I think he lives in Atlanta now.
Okay.
And he was actually in town for a concert. And we just, like, what? Good dude. It was just, I mean, it was just a cool, I'm glad I chose Bethany, I think, at the end. I was looking at bigger schools, much bigger schools, and it was a great opportunity. So.
Yeah, I always call Bethany the college journey that didn't take. I finally got a degree from UMass in 2019, which is always funny because if I wear a UMass polos, guys like right around my age. Oh, did you go to UMass? I'm like, yeah. Well, what class were you in? I wonder if we went together. I'm like, we did not. I graduated in 2019, so.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Yep. Hey, still repping the alma mater.
Absolutely. Let's go back to, first off, the World Baseball Classic. Were you surprised how passionate everybody was? Because, like, you hear about the World Baseball Classic, and it's just like, who cares? No one's going to try this. You're just trying not to get hurt. And then you get sucked in like you wouldn't believe. I enjoyed the hell out of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, no, I mean, 100%. I mean, you see things on TV like international soccer. You see the passion for these soccer fans, football fans, I guess, you know, just all over the world. And, you know, you've seen some games on TV or some clips and these highlights. And then just seeing, you know, these players that you recognize playing for their home country was incredible. And the fans, I mean, you have flags, you had a guy with a trumpet, and I remember I was DJ and he had whatever songs he played. I had a really loud charge. I kind of combated, like it was fun. You know, it's like, all right, you do yours now. And I cranked it real loud. We're all laughing. But it was just the chants, the songs, it was incredible. Again, if you get a chance to, you know, just watch it on TV or if it comes to your town, your city, definitely go try to see, no matter which teams are there in your town, whether it's a team you love and know or just random. It's just they're playing for their country. It's kind of like Olympics, I guess, in a way, right? I guess to be selected for your home country, your home team, I think is probably an honor for these players.
Absolutely.
A huge honor for these players. And we had Italy, which was fun. I don't know if you saw the clips about the espresso machine.
The espresso machine, yep, absolutely.
That was great, man. So, but it's the little traditions here or there, and just the vibe, the whole experience, I think, was cool. Very good crowds too. Of course, USA. We had USA and Mexico, so that helped. Of course,
that game was off the chart. Just so fun watching that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And they're the teams of all stars. You know, these are just all stars that even though I'm 450 feet away up in the control room, it's just like, you know, being there. Yeah, we'll get these other teams where the Astros play, where you see the Anthonys and the Judges, and they'll come to town, but you're not. Okay, it's like they're going to come here three times, maybe twice a year, right? Maybe. Well, three times each time, right? But then to see everybody in one place in one is just, it was a delight, man. It was a delight. It was cool. Definitely cool.
What's more stressful, being the DJ or being the in-game host? I can imagine, like, you know, I recently did an event where I had music cues for everything, and it's like, oh, damn, man, if you mess one of these up, you're screwed. Which one's more? I mean, I'd much rather yap than play music cues. I think the yapping would stress me out less.
Yeah, I kind of both. I mean, I would say equal. It's kind of a cop out, right? But it's like my hits, they're pretty well structured. Yeah, there's a script, but it's like it doesn't have to be word for word. It's just, hey, you want more conversational, right? As long as you get it out. And the problem, like, you've been in big arenas, big stadiums. There's a delay. There's a delay from what you hear versus, you know, when it comes back to you, right? From what you say, it might take a half second or whatever just because of that delay. Also with that RF camera, the video camera, you know, the mobile camera, that video feed is slightly delayed before, because what you see is a slight delay from what is actually happening, right? So we have to delay the mic just a bit, just so. Did you ever watch the camera on TV or somewhere? It just, the lips don't match.
Oh, yeah.
It's just out of sync. So we have to make sure we sync that up. So, but the problem is, like, I'm not perfect. I mess up words every so often. So I overthink things. If I mispronounce a name or something, and then, like, I know I just got to keep talking because I know a half second later, a split second later, my mess up is going to come across the speaker. I'm like, here it comes. It's going to keep going with it. So, I mean, they're both. I mean, it's being in the middle of a crowd, and then you have kids screaming behind you or fans screaming behind you. That's kind of, okay, just focus, Joe. Just focus on on this camera. Just focus on this, you know, kind of engage what's going around, but don't engage too much. You know, if a fan walks in front of you and in front of a camera shot, it's live television. Yeah. Right? What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. And the thing is, like, don't dwell on it. You know, it's not as, so I'll talk to my camera operator every so often. If I flub a word, did you hear that? Like, no. I mean, 90% of the fan, 99% of the fans aren't going to catch that little flub, but your friends and coworkers do. I'm like, you said what? Like, yeah, whatever, right? But you got to keep going. You can't draw attention to it, of course.
Right? Well, yeah, that's the gig.
And then with the audio, 100%, 100%. And then with the audio, too, I mean, it was stressful at first, and it still can be, especially these big, big games, like work on World Series games and the World Baseball Classic when all eyes are on you. You know, things are scripted. You have the player walk-ups. You have in-inning breaks. Those are, you know, the promo audio, the prompts, the organs and the beats and the claps, just making sure. But once you get it down, it's just, that becomes second nature. You know, you always anticipate. It's always anticipation. Okay, there's two strikes. There's a guy on third. There's how many outs? Okay, if this happens, it's like a player, right? If the ball gets hit to me, where do I go? Second, first, third, where's my next move? So here, is it going to be a foul ball, organ or clap? Is it going to be out music because it's a third out? Is it going to be strikeout music because it got struck out? Or it's, so the way it's set up, it's pretty nice on the computer, how we have everything organized, which is, but again, at first, yeah, it's still going to be stressful. I guess the long story short, but yeah, that both has its own, I guess, unique stress factors.
So you probably have like,
great question,
four or five different like music cues ready to go because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Depending on how many outs too, you got to always, you know, think ahead. So if it's one guy on, one out, hey, what's going to happen? Hey, you can't just be thinking on the next batter. It could be double play. So then you go into the out music and then you just get ready for that next inning break, right? So everything should be there. If you wait too long, there's that awkward silence. And don't get me wrong. Like I've, you know, baseball can be a very long day and I just sit zoning out. I'm like, oh, cool. Oh, no, right? That's me. I need to play something, right? But yeah, I mean, I'm not perfect by no means. And I'm always learning, which is great. You're always learning on the job. There's always something new that pops up and like I've never seen that before happen before or then now with the ABS system, it's, you know, I make sure. And then the last couple of years, I don't know, when did they start, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, with the umpires have the mics now, the challenge system, right? You got to make sure the umpire mic is up now. You're just always just, okay, gonna challenge, okay, you see the manager, okay, hold the microphone up for the umpire. You don't want to have it up all, but I mean, each his own, of course. I just get nervous about a accidental open mic for the umpire, so just I keep it off just in case until he's ready to go. But yeah, it's just always, there's always something going on, which is good. It keeps you engaged, keeps you into the game the whole time. Now I'm not one, I know our PA guy, our people in the front row, they're keeping score because they have to for the scoreboard reasons, right? But they also keep a traditional score sheet, and I can't do that. It's just I would just get too distracted. I'd be, what was that, a single? How do you mark that? Oh, no, what? You know, there's, it's just too much going on for me. But it's it can be exciting.
No, I mean, I hear that, too, because of all the sports, you know, baseball's an easy one where you could just zone out a little bit. You know, I was just telling the guys, we did a game a couple of weeks ago, and I'm doing play-by-play, and this guy walks by with a dog. And the dog had the leash, and then there was a handle on the back of the dog. And I'm like, is that surgically installed on the dog? What is going on there? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. Meanwhile, I missed two pitches. It's like,
oh, no.
I'm like, well, it's TV, so you can.
It's live. Fine, yeah.
And I'm like,
well, guys, that was actually a ball and a strike, but. Yeah.
Like, Jeff, what's the count?
3-1 now. He didn't tell me. Yeah, what's the count now? No, I mean, you're right. It's live entertainment, live TV, live radio, whatever it is. It's just, you know, go roll the punches, you know, just embrace it.
We're here with Joe Francisco. We're going to take a short time out. Joe is the in-game host of the Houston Astros. He is also, he works with the Rockets and he works with the Texans and sounds like a lot of fun, something I would very much enjoy doing, but I'm here with you doing this morning radio thing at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we'll take a short time out and we'll be back with Joe Francisco coming up here on 89.7 WTBR.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
Will you be an angel for our WTBR DJs? Every day our DJs are cold, hungry, sad and lonely, and they are crying out for help. For only 30 cents per day, WTBR can provide them with clean studios, microphones, audio board, and much, much more. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button and become a friend of WTBR. For only $8.97 per month, you can put some smiles on these faces. WTBR, for the love of radio.
If you or someone you care about has experienced or is currently dealing with sexual or domestic abuse, Elizabeth Freeman Center is here for you, day or night, whether you're ready to take action or just want to talk. You are not alone. Call our free and confidential hotline to speak to a counselor today at 866-401-2425. That's 866-401-2425, or visit our website at elizabethfreemancenter.org.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBR-FM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound, just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw, every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on a Tuesday morning. Bob Heck here with you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And our guest is Joe Francisco. He is out in Houston, works for the Astros, Rockets, and Texans. And let's sort of talk about the atmosphere in Houston right now. I know here in Boston, after what we called gonad kick weekend for our sports, the Bruins went out Friday, the Celtics stunned on Saturday, the Red Sox continue to suck. But you're sort of going through the same thing there in Houston. The Rockets just got eliminated. The only team the Astros could seem to beat is the Red Sox. Are people like, do they need to go on suicide watch there like they are around here? Is it not that as passionate?
But we've got passionate fans. I mean, it was heartbreak on Friday. I mean, coming down, you're down 3-0. Let's the Rockets situation, and it's the heartbreak. It was, what was it, game two? Or I can't remember which game it was. We were up 6 points with 30 seconds, and it's, we close it out, and, you know, they find a way in overtime, and the Lakers, you know, come from behind. But, it's heartbreak. You know, we got KD at least, I think, one more year. So hopefully build around that. Again, I'm no expert in management, player management, or draft picks, or anything like that. But I think there's some encouragement. You know, you make it to the postseason, you have a strong team. You had a couple injuries, especially with KD out the last couple games.
Right.
I mean, that might have been a big factor as well, too. But just looking on the bright side, Texans. I know we'll hit Astros here in a second. Texans. I mean, they've got a good young team, some solid draft picks. Hit the playoffs last year. Beat up on Pittsburgh, and next round was brutal. But I think we'll be fine. You know, looking forward. And the Astros, I mean, We've got a good young base here. Got our studs out there, Yordan, Altuve, Christian Walker's turning it on. I think once pitching comes back full steam, I think we'll be in good shape. I think it's just, you always hear baseball is a long season. It is. I mean, it's definitely a long season. You know, just win the division, win 2 out of 3 if you can. You know, I mean, it's not panic mode, you know, but I wasn't down here for this, but I remember hearing about 2004, 2005. There was an article in the Chronicle that they counted the Astros out for that. This is June of whatever year it was. And I think they ended up making the postseason that year and maybe the 2005 World Series team. But no, I got faith in our management. I've got faith and they know what they're doing. They definitely know what they're doing. So years ago when the new ownership took over and you heard some fans, oh, he's not spending any money. Well, hang on, breathe, guys, breathe. He just took over, right? Jim's awesome, you know, great management group, ownership group. And you saw what happened 2 years after that, a couple years after that. I mean, we just been on a tear, you know. I mean, how many World Series appearances, postseason pennants, you know, 2 World Series wins, you know, a couple that, you know, we should have won there. You know, I'm, of course, a little biased, but they know what they're doing. I'm confident, definitely confident.
I wish I could share the same sentiments from up here in Boston. We're just not doing well right now. In fact, I'm going to do a whole show tomorrow by myself where I just yell and scream for about an hour about everything that's happening. I mean, the Patriots lost their goodwill with the Mike Vrabel situation. It's just been so terrible. I don't even know what to do. For Rockets games, where you're playing video, your main function is to play the video, so it's essentially a video DJ is what you do during timeouts.
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. So there's two different positions I kind of switch between, the clips and then they call them the prompts, right? So anytime you see an animation pop up on the video board, you're let's go Rockets, or Katie slams or hits a 3, that's a different animation that pops up. So I'll play that. And then the clips operator, it's your intro videos, your evac video, your promotional videos that they do a video with the players, or some hype videos, you know, hey, make some noise. It's time to, you know, it's the fourth quarter. Come on, everybody. And those are most surprising things. A lot of things are scripted, but of course, yeah, during special timeouts, hot timeout when, hey, you know, we took the lead after 3 quarters and this place is going nuts now. Now what do we play? So you got the producer, you've got the director kind of planning things out. They call the shot and then you go to your page that has those hypes and those different, I guess, fire up videos that, okay, let's pre-track it, which means, you know, make sure the video is going to play, the audio comes through, and then you're ready to go. Yeah. And then you're ready to go. So, but that's exciting. So we have a brand new scoreboard last since our second year with a brand new scoreboard. So our control room went from, the service level kind of under the stand, it's floor level. If you're on the floor, you know, by the locker rooms, for the players. So it's kind of weird because you have your cameras out there in the bowl, so they can hear, they can feel it. Our producer is at the table with the PA announcer calling the shots. But then pretty much our control room was downstairs. So you could kind of hear it above you, but you're just relying on those monitors, right? Which was cool, but you're not really, it's not as engaging, I guess. Now, new control room, we were moved up to the upper floors, like upper press box or party area, brand new control room, huge windows you can see, and you can feel it now. You can feel the energy. You can feel the bass, and the scoreboard is just, I mean, incredible. I mean, we see it again on the TV screens, the video boards, rather the cameras. But then when I do pop out, I'm like, holy cow, this is a lot cooler than what we see on the TV screens. You know, you can still see through the window, but it's just, it's fun. It's definitely fun. And we actually, after when they have like little, not smoke, but what's the word you would say?
Steam.
It's like a rocket launching at the
oh,
end.
Yeah.
There's steam. Well, not just a steam, but you know, yeah. They'll like blast off. It's look it up online. It's super cool. They did a really good job. Really good job with that.
I'll check it out. Like, what's really cool is, you know, I wish MLB did this too. I think Bill Simmons a couple of months ago was upset that the NBA TV package, you get to see what's happening in the arena. During the timeouts. I think that's the best. I love that. Because there's
cool.
Just
yeah,
so
I
much
don't have
happening.
That, but people are talking about it. Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's like the halftime show, and you see, you know, what the performers are doing, and what the T-shirts, and what the dancers, and this is all different energies and different Yeah, I have friends that were talking about that. Like, oh, we saw that during the. Oh, you did? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm glad you got it there. Because you're right. You watch on traditional TV, and then you just the timeouts or commercials, right? You kind of miss a lot of that, the engagement. But no, yeah, good. I'm glad you called that out. Yeah. So if you have that package, it's pretty fun to watch.
It's absolutely the best. I was watching a Spurs game, and as most Spurs games are, they're not entertaining. Wemby gets his points, and they're up by 30. And then at halftime, they had a baby race where they had these babies on the floor, and like the dad was on one side releasing the babies, and the mom was on the other side catching the babies. They had to get the baby to come to them. I'm like, this is the best. I love all of this. This is better than the game.
Great. It's so good. It's so good. They do wiener dog or just puppy races, not necessarily a wiener dog, but wiener dog races. I know Texans have done. It's just in the concerts, of course, you'll see music acts that maybe local or you'll see national acts there for half times or different shows. But you're right. It's a little things like that. Right. So it's pretty exciting.
I mean, when you're working with the Texans and the Rockets, do they ever bring you in to do video or like for concerts or do those folks have a completely different production crew?
Main big concerts. Yeah. They bring in their own, they bring in their own people. I've worked, maybe one or two concerts or UFC matches, fights at Toyota Center, but it's mainly just babysitting the boards, making sure everything that their production crew and their truck that they bring in, make sure they get the feed. You still have the feed. Okay. Audio. Cool. If not, we need to call an engineer in. So it's not necessarily me putting that together, or playing their videos, but it's just kind of working hand in hand with your production crew for the most part.
Did you ever run into a situation where a concert comes through or an event that you're not working comes through and then they screw up your board and you come in and you're like, what the hell, man?
Not this, no. Because sometimes even at Daikin Park, like if there's an external concert, we have our big, you know, a big board like you have in front of you. You know, we have it up in our control room with all the different sliders, different inputs, outputs, whatever. We might see, send one signal out, and if there's a concert on the field, they might get that one feed, or they're sending us their feed. So it's kind of like a quick pass through. We're not controlling everything up there. So they pretty much stay away from what we don't touch their stuff. They don't touch our stuff. We've got great engineers, too. If anything goes wrong, there's an issue, there's anything there. And then they can figure it out in a heartbeat. Do I know the board? I don't know the board in and out. You know, a little tweaks here or there. Like I can run the faders, you know, tweak things there, cue something up. But engineer, man, hey, we need help. Runs over here. Like, wow, okay. That's pretty impressive, you know. But that's what they do. You know, that's their jam, you know.
In your career in sports, what's the biggest disaster you've, because obviously anything made by man can fail at any time. What's the biggest disaster you've ever run into? Or have you not run into one yet?
Yeah, nothing major. I mean, maybe the audio cuts out for a second. Maybe the microphones, we're just in a bad spot, you know, it doesn't pick up. But it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? Then you switch to, and then you figure it out and you... Let's not stand there next time. You know what I mean? But nothing major. You know, you just got to roll with the punches. Nothing I can think of that was, no, nothing major or you know, good question.
Big debate out there. Roof open, roof closed.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just, we had the roof open for, what was the roof open for? Oh, for the race, the 5K on set. And it was just a beautiful, crisp morning. And it was just, we actually had, there was a robotics competition downtown. And then actually one of your local schools was up there. I can't remember where she said she was from. But yeah, we're in town from Massachusetts. It's freezing up here. I said, we'll enjoy this 75 degree weather today. And it's just beautiful, you know, when the roof's open. But I mean, I get it. When the roof's closed, it's just like home field advantage. You know, so it's just, oh man, it's just the World Series games. When Yordan hit that home run in center field and game six against the Phillies, I just never heard anything that loud. And then, of course, during the World Baseball Classic, it makes a difference, definitely makes a difference. As far as like the feel, the AC, you can feel the AC. It feels good.
Oh, yeah.
when the roof's closed. But even the roof's open at night, I mean, it still could be humid, very humid, but maybe during the little breeze. But yeah, the humidity would not fun down here.
Yeah, so, no, that seems to be the biggest issue. Are there like rules that for opening and closing the roof that you know of? If it's the humidity is at this level or that level, we're closing the roof.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, it's on the website somewhere. Somebody just pointed out, and I can't remember what the metrics were. If it's, you're right, a certain humidity or certain temperature above or below, then it's, but it's all ultimately at the discretion, I think, of I think postseason games, maybe this is all just conjecture. I think maybe it's an MLB.
They probably take
make
over.
It, you know, make the call. But yeah, there's the notes are on the website. I can't remember. Somebody just brought that up literally last week or 2 weeks ago. We're talking about that. So
it must be nice, though, to know that, like, if there's a game scheduled, you're working that night. You know, it's nothing's going to stop it because you got the roof.
No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, just doubleheaders. We were with the doubleheader, the Astros, Baltimore last week, and we're like, man, that's not going to happen here. You know, I think there was maybe one doubleheader, the Dome or something. Maybe there was a flood or something that people couldn't get there. We've had a heavy water around the stadium,
right.
Not no major issues with it. But you're right. Yeah, if there's a game, weather, temperature, whatever, it's bless the Sports Authority and the Astros for building that roof. You know, God bless them, man. I remember working for the Pirates like several times and the rain delay, and then you're there. But then again, it was the in-game team, it's just the entertainment team. So we'd hang out in our room. If it's raining, like our little prep room, my boss would get us pizza. We'd sit there, relax, wait for a couple hours, look, all right, game's moved to tomorrow. Everybody go home. I'm like, okay, cool. And then just come the next day for two. Which is, they're long, whatever, but they're fun. You know, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Good or bad, win or lose, it's just the energy, you know, the feel of being there, running around and just taking it all in.
Have you been to any other stadiums? I know, obviously, you've been to the Pirates. And me and my daughter are on a quest to try and hit all 30. Have you been to other stadiums and you're like, wow, that's pretty impressive. I like this. I don't like this. Obviously, you're very busy,
yeah,
so I don't know how often you get out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, not many. I mean, we've been, my brother-in-law's family's from Cleveland. We went to the Jake at the time, Progressive Field, years ago. And that was cool. It was it was probably early 2000s. Fenway. Yeah, Fenway. My sister's up near Boston. She lives outside of Boston. And I've been to Fenway 2013, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, it's just, that's when I said cathedral, I mean, that's just one of the gems, you know, the originals, the OGs, you know, it's just, there's nothing like it. You know, it's just, it's a tradition, you know, thinking about who played there, the names that are signed and you know, inside the Green Monster. And just, that's, I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to
I know.
A local audience here, but it's, where else have I been? I never been to the Arlington, never been to the Rangers, either stadium, even though it's right up, you know, 4 hours away. Where else have I been? Oh, Wrigley. Wrigley was pretty awesome, too. I remember what we, years ago, when we were with the Pirates, we, I don't know if you remember this or not, we had the racing pierogies. They had the racing sausages. Still do.
Mm-hmm.
And we did something, it was the, what'd they call it? The Race for the Golden Skillet or something. And they brought the sausages to PNC Park. We raced them. And then we were going to drive and race them in Milwaukee, right? It's kind of like a fun promotion. So they came and raced here in Pittsburgh. That was fun. And we drove out to Milwaukee and we stopped at Wrigley. And then, you know, on our way up to what's the stadium? But anyway, up to the Brewers Stadium. And we started really, and we got a tour and there's no game that day. And I remember walking along the concourse and then all of a sudden, because there's no room for growth really there, right? That stadium's been there for however many years. And just a random little door off the concourse, they opened it up, and I don't know how many, three steps down, and you're in the clubhouse. Like, what? And it's been renovated since then, right? That clubhouse. But it was just, man, it's just, this is one of the originals too, man. Just seeing it at the, and being out there. Mets, the Shea, original Shea, not the new one, not Citi Field. Where else have I been? Oh, no, not Tampa. I went to the Tampa, where they play last year and this year.
Oh, Steinbrenner Field?
No, they're back to the Trop this year.
They're back to the Trop this year.
Steinbrenner Field, yeah. Back in the Trop, yeah. Yeah, we went last summer. See the Astros and the Rays. Just so many. I walked by the Giants Stadium, walked by Petco Park in San Diego, but haven't seen a game there. It's just so much to do and see. It's just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd love to do a tour like y'all did.
I'm heading out to Chicago later this summer. We're going to do both Chicago stadiums and Milwaukee. I'm really looking forward to Wrigley Field. But, you know, the difference between a Fenway and a Daikin Park, like at Daikin Park, when I was there, it was nice to be able to walk down the concourse as opposed to being jammed in with this tiny little concourse hallway like you get at Fenway. Because, again, same deal. There's no room to grow.
Yeah. I remember we did a tour there, too. I think we did a tour. And are the seats still there? Like, was it right third baseline, like the original seats? They're like these original wooden seats at Fenway. They're like, I mean, the humans have grown a lot in the last 100 years, right? But I want to say they are original, like the wooden seats from this for a certain section.
Yeah, up in the grandstand area. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. Oh, man. Super, super cool, though. I mean, super. The beam, I think Wrigley had that, too. There was an I-beam to hold up the next level, right? And there could be a seat right behind it when you're there. I think there's an insurance commercial about that, too. It's like, oh, great seats. Yeah, the guy's right behind it. Yeah. But that's how it's built, man. That's how it's, that's tradition, man. That's. Those places are cool.
We got a few minutes left. We're with Joe Francisco. He is the in-game host at Daikin Park for the Houston Astros. Also works with the Rockets and the Texans. What are your top coolest moments in the biz?
Oh my gosh! I mean, 22 World Series. I mean, we watched the 17 World Series. So the first one, I was a backup DJ. I just emceed 2017. I emceed the Street Fest, and then I just walked around and just took in the home games that we had in 2017. And then, so that was fun just to see, you know, I don't know, all these celebrities and things walking around just because they do their shows there, right? I mean, you see these big games, they do the shows there on the field and whatnot. And then in 22, of course, the other ones, which we lost, they weren't, but to go that far to make the playoffs is just, is fun. But then 22, man, probably Yordan's home run, because I'm on the board and I saw, we were both like, oh, that's gone. And then get ready, hit the home run song, and then boom, and then just the place went, of course, nuts. And then watching us win at home, I think that was pretty incredible, because I think it was the first time in a long time that the home team had won. So celebrating on everybody else's field, that's cool. You're watching your team, whoever you cheer for, right? But it's, and it's happening right in front of you. It's like, holy cow, you know, we did it, you know. And then Rockets-wise, there's been a handful. When we were down in the service level, you'd just walk by these players. You're not going to talk to them, of course.
Of course.
But you're walking by. You just don't realize how big these dudes are.
They're so massive.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was Golden State when KD was with Golden State. Because there's two elevators in our admin entrance. We'll go downstairs or upstairs. And the players would take that upstairs, the main level, and there's a practice court around the corner. I remember waiting for the elevator, and then Katie just walks out. I'm like, God, you know, it's like, geez, these guys are massive, you know? It's like, holy cow. No, he's, you know, these guys are massive, right? But that's, the thing is, I don't want to take it for granted, but sometimes you do, you know, all these different experiences, just being there, walking in, clocking in, hey, you know what? We're here. This is, I get paid to watch baseball, you know, or I get paid to watch the Rockets game or Texans or whatnot. This is fun. And there's opportunities out there. So if anybody's listening that wants to get involved, you know, we talked earlier about how many teams are in Boston in the area, right? I mean, there's production, there's ushers, there's concessions, there's parking, there's merchandise, and it's funny. There's Houston being the fourth biggest city in the country. You see a lot of similar faces at all the different venues, you know, so production crew, I'd say maybe at least five or more at each of those stadiums. I will see at this stadium. I will see these guys at this stadium too, you know? So, and then next year, the Comets are coming back. So the WNBA. So again, look into it, guys. If you're listening,
you stole them from us, didn't you?
Connecticut, right?
Yep. That's us.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it's all good, man. PA announcer for the Thunderbirds is a friend of mine, and he was also the PA announcer for the Suns, so he's he's a little upset, but that's all right. So you're going to be working the Comets games, too, or?
I imagine, but WNBA season is like now, right? Starts now?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's getting rolling.
For October?
Yeah, so that'll make
it
tough.
Okay, it's October maybe or something. Okay, at least with the Astros, you know, if they're flexible, if they want me to, you know, as far as commitment, like I want to commit to a particular team, right? For the most part,
of course,
90% of the games, I'm available. Rockets, 100% Texans, unless Astros make the postseason, you know, and then Astros 100%. But you know, I want to be available. I want to commit, and I don't want to burn anybody, of course, you know. So if I commit and I'm saying and you put me on the schedule, I'm going to be there, you know. So.
So,
if something else comes up, you know, sorry, but you know, I've already made this a commitment over here.
How many hours a week do you work? I mean, I know maybe it doesn't feel like a lot because it's just the home games, but you got a 9 to 5, well, 7:30 to 4:30. And then you have the games. I mean, it feels like a lot.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, we just have 3 games at Dodgers this week, so we got to be there 2 hours ahead of time. 7 o'clock game tonight, so probably 5 hours total, right? It's a 3-hour game, I imagine, right? I live relatively close, not, you know, which is good. It's just crossing town, but still that could take 20, 30 minutes depending on traffic. So yeah, I mean, good amount of hours per week, definitely good amount of hours per week, especially the long homestands. Like I think we had our long one out of the way, 3 this week. And then it's kind of like a weird schedule this next few weeks. I don't think we have any more 10 game homestands, but even if the 7 ones are just,
yeah, you know, you get to
fun.
The end of it.
Again, you're right. It's fun. It's much. Yeah, like, oh, this is, and then like it makes you think, it's like, oh man, when you're a kid, when you're younger, even now, it's like, man, it'd be so much fun to be a pro baseball player, a pro athlete. But then you realize, okay, I get there 2 hours ahead of time, but ball players have been there already for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, they're already at the stadium. They're already doing their medical training. They're warming up. They're relaxing. They're getting ready for the game. And then they're there. Okay. Game wraps up. They shower. Then they okay, cool. But they're home. But then now they're on the road. They live out of a hotel. You know, I mean, it's not that, but still, you're passionate. You love the game. You're getting paid to play the game that you love, you know? So I think.
Right.
And it's crazy looking back. I remember these young kids, these old guys playing baseball, right? All these old guys, because you're a kid and you're watching these athletes. Like, man, they're old, right? And then now it's like, I'm old and they're.
They're you know, younger than, yeah.
Kids, man. So, yeah. Especially when you see like the, who was. Was it Brazil? There was like a 17-year-old pitcher. And of course, when Soto came up, he was 18, 19.
Yeah.
But then some of these young guys, 17, 18, 19, 20, even 20, 21, that's young. And you're competing against these guys that, and you're doing well. That's takes talent, man. I remember talking to somebody years ago. It's like the amount of competition, of course, for all sports, right? I mean, baseball, for example, you yelled, oh, this guy's so slow. He's running to first. Okay. Rewind. How many guys did he play Little League with? How many guys in Little League that he played went on to the next level? Pony Cole. How many played high mm-hmm. school? Whether or not he was drafted out of high school, that maybe he played college. How many guys did he beat in college? And then how single A, double A, triple A, and then now he's... So how many guys did he beat to get here? And I'm calling him, you know, me, not, you know, the fans, whoever's calling him, you know, oh, he's so slow. Joe, he's talent. He's,
yeah.
He's
talent. No, it really is amazing, you know, these ball players. You know, you sit there and say, oh, you suck. You suck. And it's like, well, they're making millions of dollars to, and they're the best of the best in the whole wide world at this. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Oh, mad props to a man. All the sports. So mad props.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Absolute pleasure to learn about everything you do with the Houston Astros and the Texans. And it was very enlightening, especially for the nerds here who are in production and all that stuff on a much smaller scale. Joe, thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, guys.
All right, we're back tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. I will be back in studio, and I'm going to vent about some stuff in Boston sports. So that should be a fun hour tomorrow. Again, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on WTBR.